We take Pastor for granted sometimes. Say, Pastor Fisher? Pastor Fisher?
Pastor Fisher!
Preach the word.
Preach the word.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Season of celebration. Amen. Celebrating the best thing that ever happened in the history of time. Amen. We just thank God for each and every one of you. And we're not going to prolong the time. We do have a good word today. We know you've been blessed in the presence of the Spirit of God among us. And I want to thank all the choir director, the musicians, the singers, the folks who lift up praise to God, all of the saints in the sanctuary. Amen. Everybody has a part in giving God praise, and we are very, very blessed. We are blessed to be here in the presence of God. Amen. Y'all know we have kind of took a turn to address matters pertaining to the season. Amen. And there is a reason for the season we talk about all the time, amen. It's kind of conveniently left out by the world, the reason for the season. The world wants to talk about Santa Claus and Rudolph and all kind of other different folks. But we want to get the focal point back where it belongs, amen. The focal point is, if of Christmas, is Christ. It's built right in the word. It's amazing how you can overlook something that's sitting in your face. Amen. It's not about the mall and all that. And all that's okay. I don't put that down. But we need to keep our focal point centered on the reason for the season. Amen. And so we've been talking about that. And God's word has laid out for us exactly what that is and how we can go deeper in the Lord. How many want to go deeper in the Lord? Amen. How many want to go deeper in the Lord? Amen. We know in the coming year, things are shaping up in the world. We need to be deep in the word. And so that's what I pray about. I want my connectivity to God to be just impeccable. You know, that's what it says there. Remember in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, well, without faith, and actually in chapter 6, he says, and I'm going to talk about 11 too. I got my verses going running through my head 100 miles an hour here. But he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, first of all. And then he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So how do we know for sure that this thing about this Jesus is for real? It's by faith. Amen. It's by faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, the writer says. So we embrace it by faith. Now, faith is not some temporal kind of a cheap thing. Faith is a powerful thing. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. So those who come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That's the group I want to be in, is the diligent seekers. I'm diligently seeking him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul said. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Because without the power of the resurrection, whatever you want to call religion or faith, it's vain. It's worthless. And as we said in Sunday school this morning, we look at it because Jesus is the only one who has demonstrated in time that he has power and authority over the penalty for sin, which is death. No one else has done that. That's why he's famous. So he couldn't die if he wasn't born. Let me put it that way. And God knew that. That's why he planned all the way back in eternity past to give his son a body. He says, a body I have prepared for you. And so he prepared a body even from before he created anything. And that's what Christmas is really about. It's God coming into the flesh, as John says. John said, in the beginning was the word, John 1:1. The word was with God. The word was God. See, we got to understand that. The same was in the beginning with God. This was not an afterthought of God. He was in eternity with God. In verse 14, he said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So that's who we're talking about. That's Christmas. It's the coming of Christ, the Messiah. Amen. So we're going to talk about that. We've had a couple of installments. We got one more for you today. And we hope these are blessing you and thickening your understanding of who Jesus is and the reason why he came. That's the very purpose of our preaching. We want you to understand Christ better. Because when you understand Christ better, you will become better. He will improve you. It's the knowledge of Christ that builds you up and makes you the men and women of God who God is calling for. He said he's coming back for his bride. Did you know that means you are the bride of Christ? If you trust in him and believe him, in other words, he has married himself to you. So if you're married, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall be what? One flesh. So if you're one flesh with Christ, that's how God can receive you. And the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. Amen. Get just a few verses to hang our thoughts on today. I'm going to ask you to stretch your legs a little if you're able and read a few verses. This one this week is from the prophet Micah. The prophet Micah from the Old Testament. I'm not going to say that. Here I go. I'm going to say I love this book. One of my favorite books in all of the Word. But I have to confess, the prophet Micah, when you get time, read the whole thing. Amen. But here, chapter 5 is the prophecy we want to zoom in on today. It says here in Micah chapter 5 from the KJV, read with me. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Amen. One verse from the prophet Micah. And we're going to come back to that. Now we want to look at Hebrews chapter 2. And some of you all studied a little bit of this with us during Bible study. But let's read just a little bit here. Hebrews 2:14 from the KJV through verse 16. Let's read. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. You may be seated in the sanctuary. We have read verses from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 16 from the KJV. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. And Father, above all, we thank you for your son. You allowed him to come into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh. Yet he was without sin, without a spot, without a blemish, as a lamb that went before the altar, as a sheep before her shearers were dumb, he opened not his mouth. And he took the abuse of sinful mankind upon himself in order to deliver everybody who believes in him. And so, Father, we thank you today for the most important thing that has happened on earth in the history of time, the birth of your son, Lord God, which we call Christmas. And so, Father, today help us to get a deeper, richer understanding of who Christ is and how we should adore him. The angels said, we adore him, and we sing glory and praise over his name. And so, Father, we just thank you. We ask that you broaden our understanding, oh God, that we might understand the truth about Christmas. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk with you on a subject today of incorporating Christmas power into life. Who ever heard of Christmas power? We don't even hear stuff like that, do we? But there is power in the fact that the Word became flesh. And it is through Christ that this power is made available. To as many as received him, to them he gave the authority or the power to become the sons of God or the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So there's some power there. And I want to talk to you today just briefly about how to access the power of Christmas and incorporate it into your life. In other words, Christmas is just not something we know about and we celebrate, but it's something that becomes a part of us, who we are and whose we are as we represent this Messiah. Now, I always say this, and I don't have any apology about it. I just say the most important thing that has happened to date in the history of the world is the birth of Jesus Christ. So whoever don't know it, wake up and smell the coffee. I'm going to tell you right now. You need to wake up right now and smell the coffee. It's not about mistletoe and all of that. You know, that's okay. I don't mind any of those celebrations. But the most important thing is the coming of Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. When he came, he didn't come. It looked like he came in weakness because he came as a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a feeding trough, which is a manger. You see that? Born of Mary. In a place, an obscure place that no one would ever have thought anyone with power would come from. But what does it say here? As we look at the Old Testament, the prophet Micah says here in chapter number 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem," naming the place of the birth of Christ, "Ephratah, though thou be little," see that? It was a small little out-of-the-way town, pretty well forgotten about. It was a place people didn't really think very much of. People were always thinking about Jerusalem or big cities over there in that area in the Middle East. Bethlehem was kind of a little out-of-the-way place, although it was the birthplace of the Messiah here, as he says, "Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah." See that southern kingdom was called Judah during the time Israel was divided. "Yet out of thee shall come forth unto me." See that? This is God the Father saying, "Out of thee, little old Bethlehem, shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." Wow, the ruler of Israel is coming out of Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old. In other words, this was a plan long ago from everlasting. Wow, that means that shows you that John 1 and 1 is true. You can look here in Micah and understand that John 1 and 1 is true. Because this one born in Bethlehem came from everlasting. See that? From everlasting to everlasting. And in the Hebrew, that's actually literally from the vanishing point to the vanishing point. That's what it really literally means. And we render it from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. I then prayed and praised my throat dry. That's okay, but I'm going to move on. Amen. So from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So we see the prophecy of the Messiah here. Remember when the Magi came, you heard this story, you hear the story, which is commonly known today as the three wise men. Although there were many more than three, there were probably 3,000, but they bought three gifts that are mentioned in the scripture. So people from that derive the three wise men because they bought frankincense, gold, and myrrh. So they take the three gifts and say it was three wise men. Well, we know it was probably a whole coterie of men, wise people who came from the east. And they came into Jerusalem around that time when they saw the star, which was the Shekinah glory of God that was beaming down on the place where his son would be born in Bethlehem. And they came to Jerusalem because the scriptures had been written that the Messiah would rule in Jerusalem. So they came asking, it says in Matthew, "Where is he who was born, the King of the Jews? Because we have saw his star in the east." That's what they asked, right? And it says that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. The Jews who should have been looking for their Messiah were troubled. How are you going to be troubled that God is doing exactly what he promised? You're troubled because y'all ain't right. I'm going to put it in modern language. Y'all ain't doing right. Y'all have twisted it. Got it twisted, as we say. Got stuff messed up. You ain't thinking right. And so when these foreigners, here they come, Gentiles, coming to tell the Jews, "We know that it's time for the king to be born." Wow, boy, we should have known that. We're the masters of the Bible, aren't we? And so Herod said, well, just where'd you see this star? He got interested because he didn't belong on the throne. He was usurping the throne. He was not of the line of the house of David or the kings of Israel. You see, he was an Edomite. And he was out of place there on the throne. And so they said, well, he asked the Jews, "You all supposed to be Bible scholars. Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "Well, Micah said he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, sir." Oh, okay. Well, then he told the Magi, well, get on over there. When you find him, let me know where he is so I can come and worship him too. And he's thinking, well, I got a good sword. I like to run him right through. And so the Magi went out. God warned them, don't go back there and tell him anything. And they went out another way back to their country. We know how the story goes. But I want you to see something about God's word here. You who are the believers this morning, if you happen to be an unbeliever, you listen to me, study this carefully. He says, out of Bethlehem, he gave the exact spot. Even though it seemed obscure, an obscure passage, it was perfectly accurate to God's plan for the birth of Jesus Christ. So I want you to see that the flawless accuracy of the Old Testament prophecies should become the foundation for your personal realization that God predicted with pinpoint flawlessness the blessing which he became in order to give himself as a gift to impart boldness to each one who accepts his perfect gift, that is Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, as the Lord of your life. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have received a perfect gift. Isn't that what James said? Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so this perfect gift that God has given you is so you can give it away to others, which is the purpose of the commission of his church. The church has kind of gotten off course too, I think. I think if somebody walked into XYZ church and asked, what is the purpose of the church? They might hear anything today. I don't think the church, many places, has a clear idea what you're supposed to be doing. You think God ever changed what the church was supposed to be doing? Did he change it into that you're supposed to be? And it's not anything wrong with some of the stuff people are doing. But you don't have to be a church just to help the poor. You don't have to just be a church to help the sick and visit the sick and all that. Anyone can do that. That's all good. And I don't decry that. But the purpose of the church is to broadcast the good news about Jesus Christ. It's to share the perfect gift that God has given to mankind to the world. See, and so you can incorporate this fact into your life. That's what we call the Great Commission, right? God said, go ye therefore, and Jesus said this after he got out of the grave, Matthew 28:18. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. So whoever else, you ain't got no power because all power is given to him in heaven and earth. That's what it says. Then he said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach. So the clear call or commission of God to his church, his disciples. The word church means called out ones. It's not a building. It's not an organization so much as it is individuals who believe in Christ. And that's who he spoke to when he got out the grave. There were no buildings where the church met at that time. But he told them, go ye who believe in me, who believe I've risen from the dead, who believe that all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. How do we believe it? Nobody else got out the grave after having been crucified. They haven't gotten out the grave if they died of the flu or any other thing. Nobody's gotten out of the grave at all. But Jesus was mutilated and marred beyond recognition according to the law and the prophets. His whole crucifixion was spelled out blow by blow in all the prophets in the law. But even down to them gambling for his clothes in the crowd. See, all of it written down in God's old covenant with flawless accuracy, everything. Jesus had fulfilled over 300 prophecies about himself that God had said generations, in years, 1,000 years before he was born. See, that 1,600 years, on back to the days of Moses. See, and he, no one else could ever have done all those things, and no one else today could certainly do any of those things. But by the time Jesus said, it is finished, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, over 300 prophecies had been fulfilled. Starting at this one with his birth here in Bethlehem of Ephratah, says here, at Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, that little old town, that's why we sing, old little town of Bethlehem, out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. See, that whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That one there. So it's with pinpoint accuracy. Last week we looked at the prophecy in the Old Testament. We looked at the prophecy of the virgin birth. We've been looking at these over this season of Christmas together. And I like to refresh the saints' minds So you don't lose sight of the focal point of what God is doing for Christmas and what he has done. And it is, I don't care what CNN says, the birth of Christ is the most important thing that has happened in the history of time. I don't care what any of these journalists have to say. They all want to tell you all kinds of stuff and tell you about Amazon.com. Well, okay, Jesus is the focal point of Christmas. You see, it's not Versace or any of those other folks. You see what I mean? So don't go get hung up on it. It's all right if they get a little Versace, that's all right. But don't forget about what the focal point of Christmas is. It is Jesus. So one of the most powerful things that we can and should understand about what God says Christmas is, that's what's important. What does God say Christmas is? That it was God the Son was doing when he came the first time was not only to satisfy God on behalf of everyone who believes in him, but also to destroy the works of the devil, which is the power of death. So that little babe that was born in Bethlehem, in an obscure place by some people that would have been considered at that time a nobody, that's what they say about us today probably. Yeah, that church, that's nobody. You know, they put you down. A lot of folks who have other power in the world might put down people who trust in God. But I want you to incorporate the power of Christmas into your life as you go through. Understand it's the most greatest power that has ever been displayed. It's more powerful than an atomic bomb. You know how I know? Because the Bible says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. God says when the heaven and earth have been rolled up like a scroll, we looked at that in Hebrews, it's from the Psalms, the word of God will still be in effect. There's one way to be saved, and that is through God's grace, through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Now let's look at this element of how we know this is true. Hebrews chapter 2, we zoom right in, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's just a common statement. How do people get here? They don't evolve. Let me go ahead and pop that bubble real quick. They do not evolve. No one has ever evolved. I want to pop the bubble real quick. And if they did, prove it by science. Show me. I'll believe it when you show me and you prove it by science. I don't want to hear your lies and hogwash about millions of years. That doesn't cut it, baby. That ain't science. That's a lie. That's what that is. And I don't care what you say and how many of y'all and how many degrees you got. All together, your knowledge is equal to zero because you don't have any proof. Science must be proven, or it's not science. It's religion if you can't prove it. Now, we talked about last week the flesh and blood aspect of Jesus, who was God, the eternal one, the Son, coming in the flesh, and he took on a body through Mary that God had designed the woman to be able to bear him. Remember that? We looked at that last week. If you didn't, if you're hearing this message, back up to last week and listen to the message. It'll be down at the bottom of the page. You can click on it and hear last week's. So what we want to see is, well, how does that play into the whole Christmas story? He says here, verse number 14, Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's how everybody gets here. They're begotten of a man into the womb of a woman. And that's how you're born. That's why we're all children of Adam. Because that bloodstream of Adam is passed down from generation to generation. And that went on all the way till God made a change in it. He did it by going to a virgin that was in the line of King David, who had never known a man. That's what we looked at last week. And she was with child of the Holy Ghost. From that birth by the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Messiah was born. Came in without the blood of Adam. Acts 20:28 said it was the blood of God. If you check that out, I gave y'all that for homework last week. I'm going to mention it again. Hopefully you look, because if you did, you got blessed. Because you got some understanding about whose blood was in the veins of Jesus Christ. Not the blood of Adam. Not the blood of bulls and goats, like the Jews had continually offered up on the altar of Israel and Jerusalem in the temple. But it was blood sent from God with a special purpose. That's what this Hebrews 2:14 is talking about. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, see that? himself likewise took part of the same. The blood was from God, and the 13 chromosomes from Mary contributed to his flesh. The other half came from God. As you know, how we know about the 26 chromosomes and all that kind of thing. Now, we do have a little science that we can throw in, but some of this was done through the Holy Spirit in planting a seed in a virgin, and that's what the scripture had said. So he also likewise took part in the same, that now this was his reason, that through death, see that? He might destroy him who had power, the power of death. That is the devil. Now, how did that happen? How did the devil get the power of death? You know what? God had given Adam dominion over everything. And he told him, you are the federal head of all of this. Everything I made, I give it to you. So that authority and that power was granted to Adam. And then when Adam willfully sinned, it was given over to Satan, the power of death. That's why the Bible says the wages for sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's why when Jesus got out of the grave, he said, all power is given to me. Why? Because death that the Satan had the power of, I got the keys. That's what he told John, right? I have the keys to death and hell. That's what he said. See, why? Because death couldn't keep me down. I went in the grave for 3 days and three nights, but early on the first day of the week, got up with all power in heaven and earth. See, and I'm proving it. I'm not just telling you I got all power. You saw that pierced body we talked about last week. You saw that mutilated, flogged, and beaten, bloody Jesus hanging out there on the cross. You saw that centurion stick a spear up through my side, and blood and water ran down. And see, that was after he had already committed his body to the Father. Because he said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. See, so he didn't go till he was ready to go. And when he offered his life to the Father, it was without a spot, without a blemish. And God was satisfied. See, that's what you and I need to know. That's what John calls propitiation. God was satisfied when Jesus offered up a perfect, spotless, sinless life back to the Father as an offering. That was the only acceptable offering that has ever been given to God the Father. See, so that's why he said when he got out the grave, all power is given to me. So what we're talking about is incorporating Christmas power into life. Do you understand that if you know that and you believe it, God has invested power in you? Isn't that what he told the disciples? In Acts chapter 1, they said, Lord, is it at this time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? After he had gotten out the grave, he told them, go away until you be endued with power from on high, right? In Acts chapter 1. He says, not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put into his own power. But he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we're here today in the uttermost part of the earth compared to Israel. So when we heard them pop back into the news, they pop in and out of the news all the time. Little old Israel, smallest little speck on the planet almost. But they keep popping in and out of the news. Why? Because God is holding them there, and he's going to show the world something when they mess with Israel. See, coming up could be any day. So you ought to be happy, first of all. We hear people talking about what's going on in Jerusalem. How does this little speck of real estate stay in the news every day? Because God is keeping it there. And he wants you to incorporate Christmas power, which is authority over death, hell, and the grave, into your everyday life. You ought to walk with authority. Don't let the devil tell you what to do. Don't let him give you fear and all that. Don't let him make you fearful about what's going on in your life. You know what? God said, go forth in my name. If you go, I'm going with you, even to the end of the world. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So it don't make any difference what you're going through. You ought to incorporate Christmas power into your life every day. You know what? You've been promised victory. We sing victory is mine, but do we believe it? We hope you do. Victory is mine. Because I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. So that's one of the most important reasons why Jesus came, was to destroy the power of the devil, which is death. He shows you that I have authority over death and the grave. So the writer to the Hebrews indicates that the fear of death is one of the strongest bondages that troubles people all their lives. How many people are upset and sad because of a loved one, maybe even, that passed? Or how is it every time we get a little sickness, oh, we're worried about death? Well, we shouldn't be. Jesus has overpowered death. Death is swallowed up in victory. If I do die, guess where I'm going? Going straight to the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So I don't have to let that trouble me all the days of my life. Christmas power makes it possible for me to stand against those kind of thoughts. When they come in your mind, when they try to upset your apple cart and get you messed up, incorporate Christmas power into your life. Understand, no matter what happens, if the doctor comes in with a bad report, whatever, Jesus got this. I'm good. Because all power has been given to me. So the writer to the Hebrews indicates that the fear of death is one of the strongest bondages that troubles people all their lives. But since Jesus has come, we can now incorporate victory rather than fear because Jesus is risen. So we can walk in power and not in fear. You don't have to be in fear. God doesn't want you to be fearful. You know, one of the things that says about unbelievers in the book of Revelation, it says that the fearful and the unbelieving and whoring, starts talking about liars and murderers, those folks are outside of heaven. They're not inside. You shouldn't be fearful. You should be powerful because you are. If you believe the gospel, you have power. He said that you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. See, so think of your life as a witness for God, empowered by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you have never trusted Christ, it's important. It's the most important thing that there is. You need to be saved. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be unbelieving. Because the only thing will happen, like, and I always say this, and this may sound strange, and some of you may have heard it, people who are already in the grave are 6 feet closer to God than we are. The Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's why I say they're 6 feet closer. Because they're going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's supposed to be comforting. We already know what's going to happen. There's no surprises. God came, sent his son through it. He got up and ascended into heaven, and you know it. And you believe it because he gave you his word. And you know what? There wouldn't be anything to preach if Jesus was dead somewhere in the grave. How can you preach about somebody who's dead in the grave? A lot of people do it every day. About Muhammad, he's dead and in the grave. Buddha, you're dead and in the grave. Go on and on. Confucius, you're dead and you're in the grave. I don't care who you name, you're dead and you're in the grave. But you don't have any power. Jesus got out of the grave. Otherwise, there's nothing to preach. And he did that to give you power so that you can incorporate the fact that he was born, which is Christmas, that power into your life. And I speak that over you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, let your people walk in Christmas power, that they're energized by your Holy Spirit, that you've given them authority over everything, Lord, and you said we can tread upon scorpions and adders, and the young lion and the dragon shall we trample under feet, because you have set your love on us. And so, Father, you said you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They will bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against the stone. Bless in the sanctuary today, Lord. Let the saints be filled with Christmas power and let them export it everywhere they go. We ask this in the mighty name of your Son, the risen one, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray the church see together. Amen. Go ahead and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you today. If you're here today and you are not saved, we want to offer the invitation that you might come at this time to unite with the church. Amen. Receive Christmas power into your life today. Amen. It'll be the best thing you ever did. Boy, you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. All of that's of less importance. When you get the first things first. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things will be added to you. You know, I'm glad that I have his righteousness. Because I look at mine, it's kind of a little flawed. I don't know how yours is. But I'm thankful that he gave me his righteousness. He covers you with what you need. He said he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings shall you trust. That's the covering of the blood of Jesus over the ones who trust in him. Amen. So you don't have to worry about it. He said you don't have to worry about the terror by day nor the arrow that flies at night. Those things in Psalms 91. He said because he protects you. He set his love on you because you set your love on him. Amen. It's a two-way relationship. You see, and he loves you just like you are. If you're here and you're not a member of the church, you already saved, you may be. We want to give you opportunity also to unite with our church family. Amen. We are here. We are an instructing church. We like to teach you what the word means so you can take it with you. And you know what's happening to you? I just want to say this, and I'm going to shut up. When you hear the word, it doesn't make any difference. You say, well, you said an awful lot of stuff today, Pastor. I don't know if I remember. Well, you don't need to. And I'm not saying don't try to remember it. Do. But if you didn't, everything I said went into your spirit today. And it's in there. And when you need it, guess what? The Holy Spirit who God has given you will call it up to your remembrance. That's the way it works. Everything you heard is in your spirit right now. And God, the Holy Spirit who is in there, if you trust Christ, he'll bring it back when you need it. Yes? And he'll comfort you right in the midst of your trial. Amen. He will do that. That's how the apostles, John said, boy, you know, if I tried to write everything Jesus did, the whole world couldn't contain the books that shouldn't be written. But these things have been written that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life through his name. He said, I wrote what he said right. Got something to tell you about that too. Don't have time today. We have done as God commands. We hope you got a good word from the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Are there any other announcements that we have? I want to, of course, welcome all visitors who are here. Thank God for you. We hope you come again and again. And if you haven't chosen to unite with us yet, please do it. We love you. We want you on board. And we thank God for you. You can come at any time. Amen. We have a few folks to shy sometimes. They say, well, I don't know if I want to get up before people come pull our coattail on the side. And we'll take you in that way. We can take you any kind of way you want to be taken in. Doesn't have to be a public spectacle that bothers you. Amen. But in either case, we thank God for you. So we're going to go ahead and proceed. And hopefully this word will carry you through. I know it will, because God said, I will always do what my people need. Amen. Amen. Because if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. I'm going to give it to Brother G for the benediction. Amen.
Well, we're not comforted today by the words. Let us stand.